Well, good evening. Once again, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion and delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Our number 464-8295, or outside the Santa Cruz dialing area, but anywhere within the reach of my voice, 1-888. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But right now, we have on the line Mr. Stephen Jacobson. Mr. Jacobson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being with us here tonight on Radio Liberty. And Mr. Jacobson has done a couple of fascinating tapes, one on mind control and one on the Federal Reserve System. In fact, there's a sequence on that, on the one on the Federal Reserve System, which is actually a sequence between Abbott and Costello, which is worth the price of the whole tape, as I guess the Costello tries to explain to Abbott about monetary systems, and it's exactly like what they do with the Federal Reserve System. How did you ever get that sequence to put on the tape?
Oh, gee, I remembered having seen different routines that Abbott and Costello had done in the movies dealing with money, and it was a matter of simply tracking down which pictures and then screening them and determining what would be the best example to use in describing money and the operation of the money system.
And that is just classic of what they're doing to the American people today, as Costello explains to Abbott, how it works, and of course it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what's interesting about it is that it's an excellent example of a very important point regarding psychological warfare, and that is this. The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. And in the case of this particular example, Abbott and Costello, Bud Abbott wants to borrow $50 from Lou Costello, and Lou doesn't have it. He only has $40. And Bud says, okay, give me the $40, and you owe me $10. And the sequence continues until Lou Costello doesn't have any money. What is interesting is that the manipulation of words, the manipulation of numbers in that comedy routine is an example, true to form, on how the Federal Reserve operates. And much of the problems that we have in this nation have to do with our inability to discern between what is real and what is illusion. All of our problems in this nation are the result of people being led to believe things that are not true. In fact, I'd go further and say that not only all the problems in America, but all the problems in other nations, through all the problems of the world, are the result of this very same simple problem. People have been led to believe things that are not true.
Well, it's just like money, you know, the idea that they can take a piece of paper and they can print something on it and give it a worth with nothing behind it is the most amazing example of how they're able to confuse people, and people put their faith in that because it's required that you accept it, and it is the legal system of tender which is forced upon the people by the government. But they actually come to believe that piece of paper with a figure on it has value, whereas the only things traditionally that have had value have been gold and silver, property, and things of that sort.
That is correct, and the problem is that people have not been taught true facts regarding money and economics, that information is withheld from people, demonstrating one of the two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled, and that is by controlling the information that people have access to. Secret knowledge has always been the basis of power. People in positions of power know some things that the rest of the population does not know, and this is how control is maintained over large numbers of people. It's not a new problem. Mankind has suffered from these problems from time immemorial. What is new, however, in the times that we live in, is the technology that allows the implementation of ancient principles on a massive scale to influence the thinking and behavior of large numbers of people.
It's really so true, you know, and so many of our young people go through high school, they go through college, and they are indoctrinated to believe that the government can provide for people, and if the government didn't provide for people, people would starve to death and old people would die, and nobody has ever told them what's wrong with these ideas of socialism. You know, if you tell people, and you can spend maybe an hour with them and explain them the facts, it's amazing you can transform their lives. In fact, one of the most amazing stories is the one that Clarence Thomas, our Supreme Court Justice, tells, that he went to a meeting with Thomas Sowell, and he was a liberal, and he spent a weekend with Thomas Sowell, and he came out a constitutional conservative. Now, how could you possibly transform a man, of integrity in a weekend? It was simply because he heard for the first time in his whole life the truth. And truth is on our side. And the great tragedy is there's so many people out there across America who have never heard the truth. So why don't you talk maybe a little bit about mind control in America, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Sure. Well, first let me preface it with a little background information about how I got involved in investigating this issue. My background is in communications. I studied film at Boston University, and I worked in the film industry for about 13 years, much of that in New York City. Worked in different capacities, but a heavy background in editing. And as a film editor, it was easy to see how simple a thing it is to change the meaning of what someone is saying or change the meaning of an event through the simple process of editing, by cutting out statements, by adding a reaction shot, a silent comment on what is being said or shown. However, it wasn't until 1980 when I was given the results of private research investigating hypnosis that I began to see the true implications of what was occurring. And after studying this material, eventually it led to my leaving New York City, leaving the career that I was pursuing, to investigate this whole issue of mind control, mental manipulation, the use of hypnotic techniques in mass media, and elsewhere in politics and education, and simply to educate myself to what was going on out here, and in the process use my training and the skills developed over the years to put together summary information that would be helpful to other people. And that led to, that investigation and study led to production of two audio cassettes, the results of more than 10 years' work dealing with some of these issues. The first tape is titled Mind Control in America. It is a summary of the mind control issue. It defines the principles involved, and I'll get into what they are in the course of our discussion. It describes the techniques used in different media so that the listener can hear examples of different techniques used so that they can recognize them when they are confronted with them again. And then it places the whole issue into historical perspective. The second tape, the companion tape, titled Wake Up America, also deals with the mind control issue, but as it applies to finance and economics. Psychological warfare and economic warfare work together, hand in hand, and it is my position that both are being waged against America and have been for a very, very long time. Now, in the book 1984, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. Well, the world of Orwell's 1984 arrived in America, for the most part, unnoticed by most of the population because people kept busy and distracted and kept anxious and tense so that they do not notice things happening right in front of their noses that they would notice if they were in a more comfortable physical state and a more peaceful state of mind. Inducing stress in a population, tension, anxiety, fear, is a strategy of psychological warfare. And it is my view that mass media, is being used in a coordinated fashion to unduly influence people, their thinking and their behavior. There couldn't be any effective propaganda if there wasn't coordination through mass media. And there has been a continuing trend through the years of the consolidation of ownership of different media, consolidation of ownership of film, television, press, radio, TV, where fewer and fewer large multinational corporations are controlling the information that people have access to, not only the information, but the entertainment that people have access to. Entertainment is not value-free. It has ideological content. We slough it off as being inconsequential and not very important, but it is extremely important in creating a climate and mindset in a population. And the arts, the power of the arts, theater, music, in our times, film, television, the arts have always been recognized throughout history as having great power in molding the character of a society.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're going to have to take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a moment on Radio Liberty. I hope we're going to be back in just a moment here on Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty, and we want to tell you about a few of the items that we have which we think that you'd benefit from getting. And certainly one thing we carry are a series of books going into the background of the move towards the New World Order. Certainly Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation, is an amazing story as it begins to reveal the fact that there's an organized effort to destroy America as a sovereign nation and merges into a world system of governance under a ruling elite. Gary Kaw's second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the spiritual forces at work, working towards just that end. And then, of course, our book, not my book, a book I always wished I'd written, but William Still Beat Me to It, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, goes into the writings of Manly Hall and other occultists on how America was to be used to bring about this new occult world government, this new world government which would be energized from the dark side. Global Tyranny Step by Step by William Jasper, the book Freedom on the Altar, a rather inexpensive book by William Grieg, but a very, very good book, following this movement from the time of the Enlightenment right up until the very, very day that we live, showing how the great foundations have been working behind the scenes to remold and remake our society. And finally, the book, Shadows of Power. Now, all of these books interlock together, and they point you to the fact that we are moving away from America as a sovereign nation under God towards a world government under a different type of religious background, under different spiritual forces. As many of our listeners are Christians, you will recognize the fact that many of these things were prophesied, but we don't know when they're going to come about or when the Lord's going to come back. What we do know is that God expects us to occupy until he comes, that we're to be the salt of the earth. And the fact that we would sit back and do nothing in the face of this organized evil as the forces within our government finance dictatorships throughout the world and abortion throughout the world and forced sterilization throughout the world and all of these other terrible atrocities, the starving of orphans in communist China that we back at every step of the way. The fact that our government does this with our tax money makes us partly responsible for what's going on, because men become accomplices to that which they come to accept. To find out what's really going on, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. This is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Mr. Stephen Jacobson, and we're talking about mind control. And, you know, as he was talking, I was thinking of a video movie we saw at home this weekend. It was called Walking in the Clouds, the most beautiful, touching love story you ever saw. But the trouble was that all through the movie, they kept having flashbacks to when this young man was in the war. That had nothing to do with the story, other than programming the minds of the listening audience of the horrors of war. And, of course, war is horrible. There's no question of that. But the recurrent scene shown over and over and over again, completely devoid of any meaning in the plot, was, in my opinion, simply inserted to program ideas into people's minds, and that is, you shouldn't fight for what you believe in. Now, I'm not here to defend war, and I'm not here to defend the First World War, the Second World War, or Vietnam. I am to say that sometimes you have to know what you believe and you have to be willing to stand for it. But, of course, that was not the message we got from Walking in the Clouds. Get it, watch it. Beautiful love story. But understand what they're doing to your mind in this movie. Go ahead, Mr. Steve, and tell our listeners a little bit more about what you've learned about how the entertainment industry and the television is being used to control the minds of the people of our nation.
Sure. Well, see, well, people don't think of television and film and music as being weapons of psychological warfare because they're part of our culture, our popular culture. And in the case of television, television for many households is the television is part of the family. People congregate around it at dinner time or at all times. And if you notice, young children or older adults sitting in front of a TV set, the glazed, vacant look in their eyes, just remember that look and know that they are in trance. The television screen, although it appears to be stationary and static, is actually flickering. We don't see it consciously, but subconsciously what that repeating pattern does is induce a hypnotic state of mind. Now, the hypnotic state of mind is a very natural state of mind. We go in and out of it throughout the day. It is a state of mind that is very similar to daydreaming. It is most easily described as that twilight state of mind when we are just drifting off into sleep at night or just waking in the morning, where there is no conscious mental activity going on. The mind is a clean slate. There is no mental activity whatsoever. Now, it's in this state of mind when we are the most suggestible and the most receptive to mental programming.
Now, who is programming it and why?
Well, in the case of television, it's the mechanism itself, regardless of the content. It's the nature of the technology to induce the state of mind. Now, as far as the content is concerned, you have to look, your control functions reside in your economic engine, your economic base. Now, the fact that there are only two economic systems in existence, you either are going to have an honest monetary system or a dishonest one. the an honest money system is simply a barter system where people are exchanging things for other things of value. The other economic system is a credit system. Now, credit is nothing. It's nothing tangible. You can't touch it. You can't weigh it as you can when you are using a barter substance like a gold or silver coin, which you can touch, you can weigh and measure, and have standards of purity and value so that it maintains its value over time, and you don't have the kinds of problems that we have using a paper currency that simply is nothing but a record of debt. The numbers measure nothing. The only way paper currency can be honest is when there is a one-to-one relationship between what the paper currency is representing, $5, let's say, and gold or silver coin held in a bank vault. The Constitution mandates a monetary system of gold and silver coin. The founding fathers were very familiar with the economic problems that we are suffering from today. Inflation. They experienced it, and that's why they demanded that we have a monetary system using something of substance, something that was tangible. In fact, for thousands of years, all civilizations have stumbled upon gold and silver as being an aid in facilitating all their economic activity. And people have to realize that that whatever you're going to use for money, that the purpose of money is simply to facilitate trade and the providing of services in society. The purpose of it is not to make money in order to use it as a weapon to gain control and influence over other people and to dominate other people. The money system has been fashioned in such a way to be more brutal than any slave master's whip from that period in our history. It's just that we're being beaten down by this imaginary dollar and that everyone is scrambling for. Again, that ties into the fact that true economics isn't taught in school, and education being pretty much state education, where people are given the only that amount of information that those in power want the general population to have access to. Again, illustrating that the one primary means of controlling people is controlling the information they have access to. If we don't have all the information on any given subject, then our judgment is going to reflect those holes, and we're never going to be able to figure out what's going on out here. People in power very often will present false information for selfish reasons. They'll withhold information for the same reasons, selfish reasons. And we got to realize that this nation has been placed in a vice. We are experiencing a scientifically induced nervous breakdown as a nation. It's the only explanation that can account for the irrational behavior that we witness more and more all over the place. Now, it is part of this process of psychological warfare, of softening up a nation as part of a program of conquest. It's a part of this age-old plan that has been going on where you have a few people, elite people who feel that they are destined to dominate and control others, and they go about making plans out of their own self-interest to bring that to pass. But I'd like to discuss briefly the principles involved and how it works.
Please do. Go right ahead.
And so that people can recognize some of these things while they are happening to them. But the hypnotic state of mind can be induced by a very clever manipulation, simply using a very simple mechanism by distracting people's attention, getting people to focus their attention on a single spot, clears the mind of all thought. A hypnotist will use his voice, vary the pacing and inflection of his voice to induce the state of mind in his subject, where he is using language and speech patterns and words as to create sounds, to get the subject's ear to lock onto the sounds. Now, any politician, any great orator, preacher, any public speaker is going to be using these techniques, whether they're doing it unknowingly, subconsciously, or in many cases knowingly, because of the effect that it will have on people. You get people to focus their attention, one of the five senses, or one or more of the five senses, on a single point. In the case of sound, use a repeating pattern, the cadence of a hypnotic pattern, to get the person to lock onto the sound, clears the mind of all thought, and that's the state of mind in which we are receptive to mental programming. Any advertiser, any propagandist wants to create that state of mind in the audience so that the message gets through without any interference. An advertiser or a propagandist doesn't want you thinking about the information that is being presented to you. So they get to distract you, get you to focus so that the information just flows through without any interference. And so over a period of time, the repetition of the information, of the message, is going to induce a conditioned response. And that is simply the mechanism by which we learn. It is the focusing on the material that you're studying in school. It's the repetition that makes it stick in the mind so that when the information is required, you have the recall, and then you act on the information. But here's where the problem is. What if the information is wrong? In school, the assumption is that the material, the facts that you're given, are going to be accurate. But what if they're not? Then you have another problem. And that is, whatever the conscious mind believes, the subconscious is going to act on it. It's very much like programming a computer. You feed information into the computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if you feed information in that's wrong, it's still going to act on it, and that's the same with us. If we are given wrong information, then we're not going to correct the error. The subconscious isn't going to correct for the error. We're going to act on that information whenever we are confronted with a similar situation. Now, that leads to how it is possible that people can be misled and led to believe things that aren't true. It can happen when information is carefully timed, presented by an accepted and respected authority, and then repeated over and over and over again until it becomes a conditioned response, and then you just react automatically without thinking about it. A lot of things that people think, they do not examine how they came by those beliefs. A lot of things that we believe are things that we acquired in childhood, in our early education, and a lot of things that we simply take for granted as being true without examining a lot of the assumptions that we are operating on.
Okay, sort of like the idea that the word McCarthyism is a trigger word for revulsion. As is the word anti-Semitism, fascism.
That is correct. There are a lot of words like that that have such strong emotional content that they are used to trigger that mechanism to stop all discussion, to stop all thought, and those words do that.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Stephen Jacobson. At that time, we're going to open our lines at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We invite your calls. because what most people must understand is that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine just what the future will bring. This is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty, and as long as we're talking a little bit about the monetary system, let's tell you about a book we have. And if you haven't read The Creature from Jekyll Island, you really need to, especially in times like these, because it's the story of America's monetary system, how it came about, how they were able to convince people that the paper dollar was just as good as gold. And, of course, it goes into a secret meeting that was held on Jekyll Island back in 1910, where a number of very wealthy men, including Benjamin Strong, who was affiliated with the Morgan Trust, and